Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. How you feeling today?
I'm doing good, Bob. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. And you heard during the update there, before we get to the Ravens, but it's a division foe. Joe Flacco goes to Cleveland. They traded for Kenny Pickett. I know there's some whispers out there that maybe Kirk Cousins could wind up there depending on what happens. In Atlanta, they have the second pick in the draft. Is this kind of an indicator, Jonas, that they're not taking a quarterback at number two?
I think I like the plan that I saw sketched out in the mock draft yesterday, which was take the best player available at number two and then trade it back up into the first round and just kind of have this controlled burn in year one where you are doing everything you can to – you know, set yourself up for, you know, I mean, I would assume that if they take Shador in the mid-teens or low 20s, then, you know, they would want to get a decent look at him. But listen, you know, you're probably not going to have a great team next year because Joe Flacco is not doing a whole lot for you. You know, Pickett's not doing a whole lot for you. Shador is probably not doing a whole lot for you. So if you can continue to put yourself in a position where maybe you can be, you know, one of the worst teams in the league while still either grooming this young quarterback or maybe putting yourself in a position where you can be in the top five again next year and get a swing at a probably deeper quarterback pool. That's probably the best strategy. But to me, knowing like how analytically inclined that Browns organization is, even though there are a lot of people's jobs on the lines, I just don't see them reaching for Shador that early.
Now, real quick, Jonas, before we get back to the Ravens here in Pittsburgh, I know they brought Mason Rudolph back, very touching reunion there, but what's the end game with Rodgers as you see it right now, Aaron Rodgers?
I guess just wait until after the draft. I think that's probably a smart idea for him, smart idea for all the teams who might be involved with him. Just, you know, he wants to go to a team where he knows he can still try to be a, you know, an impact player, and it would best serve those interests if he goes to a team that has not drafted a quarterback in round one or round two. So I imagine we'll see some resolution there and we can all finally stop asking where he's going to go and whether he can play.
Yeah, just get it over with. You know what I mean? But exactly. The Ravens, 27th pick, we know the needs as we've discussed many times before, but 11 picks overall. The chances that the Ravens use all 11 for themselves are what, as you see it, less than 2 weeks from the draft?
It's a good question. You know, I think I imagine they will do some trading. I think, you know, obviously this is par for the course with the Eric DaCosta experience, but, you know, I think it's probably more likely that they would trade back in the first round than trade up. So you could get, you know, a fourth rounder or an extra fifth rounder if they do indeed do that. You know, I just think that with the amount of quality players who should still be available in those late 20s, then, you know, you should feel good about maybe not getting the guy that you that is next in line, because you can also get like a third rounder or a fourth rounder. But it's also, you got to remind yourself that like they need a kicker in those late rounds. They need offensive line depth. So if you're talking about like a 5-5-1 split in terms of offense, defense, special teams, then that kind of sort of makes sense on paper. So I don't think that the 11 picks that they're going to enter the draft with are going to be the ones that they leave the draft with. But, you know, with the kind of compensatory picks they have lined up for next year as well, it also wouldn't surprise me if like they make a move at some point in day two or early day three to go get someone that they really like, because maybe the depth at the end of the draft isn't necessarily up to snuff, and they take 10 picks knowing that, again, they should have a nice cache of 2026 picks next year.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joining us here, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Nolan McGraw, Ryan Ripken, he'll be joining us in the next segment because he's ready to rock and roll. We'll get back to ragging on the Orioles in a few minutes. If they're at 27, we know that safety, cornerback, inside, outside linebacker, whatever, we know that kind of the main needs, I guess, Jonas. But if there's an outside-the-box pick, they could go at 27. I know Eric at home, NFL.com, has him taking the offensive tackle from Ohio State. Would that be a stunning turn of events at 27?
I think it just depends on your comfort level with him playing inside.
Josh Simmons is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, here. Josh Simmons. He looks really good on tape. And obviously, it's out of character, I think, for the Ravens to take someone who is coming off a serious injury. And obviously, that patellar tendon was not so limiting that he couldn't do on-field workouts. But obviously, that's where the medical rechecks come in. I don't know if this is outside the box, but I think like Derek Harmon, who obviously Tom McShay mocked to the Ravens in his mock, would I think be a home run pick. Just, you know, a guy who can line up anywhere from the one tech to the five tech, you know, give you a lot as a run defender, pass rusher. I think that would be, a slam dunk. And listen, I think, you know, I watched a lot of film of the offensive guys this week. And I do think that if Emeka Egbuka is still there at 27, that would also be, for me, a prospect that you would absolutely have to consider. He's just a really good blocker, really good teammate, you know, really good route runner. It obviously does crowd the picture there with your slot receivers, because you have so many guys who would be best served lining up in the slot, and who, if you take Egbuka, that probably means that you're going to have to trade Mark Andrews for a discount there, because I just don't see, that's a lot of redundancy at that position. But I just think that he's a really good player, has been a really good player for a long time. And even though he doesn't have that wide receiver one ceiling, I don't know if anyone in this draft besides Tedrone and McMillan could conceivably a wide receiver one. So for him, I think that would be a great potential landing spot for the Ravens.
All right, Jonas, last thing for you. Chances that Derrick Henry signs an extension before he takes his first regular season snap of 2025?
I'd say it's more likely than not. Just, you know, I don't know offhand who would be the next guy in line to potentially reset that running back market, but I don't think that they would probably get a bigger deal than Saquon Barkley, considering he was one of the best players in the NFL. I just think that this all depends on not just Derrick Henry's interest in re-signing, which seems pretty legit, but also Lamar's, you know, the how close we are to the finish line with Lamar. Because if he doesn't re-sign, then the long-term spending plan for this Ravens offseason and the next Ravens offseason gets a little bit harder to figure out. I mean, that was the whole big deal with the Ravens getting an extension done with him 2 or 3 years ago at this point. Like, if you don't have that big puzzle piece in place, it's really, really hard to imagine what the rest of your deals for the other promising young to established players on this team look like. You know, you got to figure out Lamar so that you can get a Derrick Henry deal done, so that you can get a Kyle Hamilton deal done, so that you can get a Tyler Linderbaum deal done. So I do think that the Ravens would have a big interest in re-signing Derrick Henry. I don't think that he would get anywhere close to the Derrick Henry deal just because he's not that kind of three-down player. He's obviously a couple years older. But I think that there is a very real interest that now that you have this foundation for a pretty good offensive line in place, why not do everything you can to supercharge it with this incredibly talented running back?
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Jonas, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Right, Jonah Shaver, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off, but Ryan Ripken is here. We got to get in it with him. We got the whip around coming up. Keith Kavanaugh's got all sorts of good news, he said, from College Park, bottom of the hour, TerrapinTimes.com. Funhouse coming up at 11:45. Orioles, weather permitting, taking on the Blue Jays. Blue Jays just took 3 out of 4 at Fenway. Orioles, well, it's been struggle city here.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the whip. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off today. He'll be back on Monday. Frozen 4 last night. Brian Ripken's with us. Brian, first of all, hello.
Hey, happy Friday. Bob, Nolan, back there. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, we kind of napalmed the birds.
Yeah, I heard. I heard some things here. Don't worry. Right. We have more time to talk about it.
Yeah. And PT said, name a deeper lineup than the Orioles. I got 3 teams off the top of my head. But, hey, we'll get to that. Hey, I love the Orioles, man. I'm wearing my Orioles hoodie here because it's cold. It's going to rain. Orioles get religious. But we'll get to it. I don't want to digress too much. I think I just did. BU beat Penn State. So Charlie Serrato, they fall short. But them making, it was like, San Diego State making a run at the Final Four, something like that. For them even to be in the tournament and to get that far was an accomplishment. And I think they have everyone coming back. So Penn State will be loaded next year. But they lose to BU. They will play Western Michigan, who beat the Denver team. In double overtime, heartbreaker there.
Man, I will say, like, all those moments of guys, you're talking about, like, the Cinderella story moments. I still remember the George Mason team for basketball back there.
06.
Those are the moments that you're never going to forget. So, hate that they fell short. It's a part of it, but that's a run that in that region, especially in Penn State, they're going to remember for a long time.
And it's a foundation, perhaps, to a great run next year. Let's see, NBA last night. Only one game of local interest, meaning a player that participated from the area. Minnesota beat Memphis 141-125. Ant-Man, 44-5-3. Anthony Edwards, let's see here. Julius Randle at 31-10-5 for the T-Wolves. They're positioning for playoff spots there in the West. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound for the Grizzlies, 5 points, 4 boards, 5 assists. This is the last weekend, believe it or not, of the NBA regular season. Playoffs start.
Yeah, playoffs. And then the playoffs are going to stretch out over, what, about 2 months, and a half? But wild to think it's here and wild to see that there's still that positional movement up and down. But, hey, it's fun. Playoffs are fun, right, Bob?
Yep, no doubt. And it's a good time to either win or lose money. I mean, I grew up a Bullets fan. Now they're the Wizards. It is what it is. But I'll root for the Bulls in the play-in tournament because they have like 17 Terps on it. And by the way, I saw a mock draft that they have Chicago taking Derrick Queen at 11.
Well, just keep it coming there. And also, I think you started the Josh Giddey fan club for the Bulls right there.
Yeah, Josh Giddey, man. It looks like a young Bob Haney running around out there. But a right-handed version. Minor league, and we'll talk more about this. Kyle Gibson, 3 1/3. 3 hits, 1 run, no walks, 4 Ks. I guess we're, how many, 40-some pitches?
47, yeah.
So, another starter two before he gets in here? What's the workload have to increase to put him in the rotation?
I think they always want to try to get guys at 75 is the threshold, in my opinion. 75 pitches, they want to try to push to 90, but let's be honest, usually they don't want to push guys to 90 in their first couple starts. But I don't know, with the Orioles situation, 75, one time for Gibby, they might say, hey, you've been doing this a while, you feel good? All right, we'll see you up in Baltimore.
Spencer Strider, and this game was actually taking place when we were on the air yesterday, yep. Ryan. 5 1/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 13 Ks.
I think he's ready. Yeah. I think he's fully recovered. And I'll tell you what, the Braves could use that jump. Hey, the Braves got a big win the other night, but Spencer Strider's that dude. He's a stud.
So whip around, Vinny and Haney went up 5-7. The Fan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Van Halen, Roth era only. On the NHL ice last night, Ovi and the Caps go home, taking on Carolina. And a little extra hockey for the fans.
Top of the right circle, in on Anderson, shoots and scores! Past the right pad, and the Caps strike first in round number one. Pierre-Luc Dubois gives Washington the advantage.
5-4 in a shootout. Washington, Joe B., Joe Beninati, Monumental Sports on the call. Caps win 5-4 with the win. Clinch the top seed in the East for the first time since 2017. And since in hockey you get a shootout loss, you still get a point. Carolina, who had already clinched a playoff spot, they will have home ice advantage whoever they play in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know what? I was trying to think about this with hockey. I wish they could say home ice really matters. In some cases, it might. But I feel like that's where anything kind of goes. But I do love hearing for the Caps. Everything's going to be running through D.C., hopefully. And Ovi has a magical season. Maybe the Caps can do that, too.
Yeah, but historically, when they get that president, well, they haven't won the President's Cup yet. They usually, anybody sees my ass.
Is it always trying to say that, Bob? I think you put it into existence. Amen. New year, right?
Right.
New team, new year.
Not trying to schlep rock the old Capitals there. This day in Orioles history. Let's see, it's April 11th. How about we go back to 1997? Oriole Park, Camden Yards, wire-to-wire Orioles. 9-3 over the Rangers. Rafael Palmeiro, 2 homers, 4 ribbies. Brady Anderson, 2 for 3 with a ribby and 2 runs scored. Mike Bordick. Bordick, if you're listening, you were 3 for 4 of the runs scored that day.
Oh.
Raised your average to a cool 160 after a slow start.
Man, why? I wonder if Bordy was panicking back then. He seemed pretty calm, though. Maybe that's why he's staying calm. Right. It takes a while to get going.
He's chill. Mike Mussina, 7 strong. Picks up the win. And then the good old days of 2 years ago. And we're going to get into this later in the hour. 2023, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Orioles beat the A's 12-8. Ryan Mountcastle, 3 for 4. 2 homers. 9 ribbies. Austin Hayes, now rehabbing in Cincinnati. 4 for 5 with a homer. Brian Baker got the win in relief of Grace Rodriguez, who scuffled as a youngster on that day. But Mountie, where's that guy?
Well, and you know
what we've been asking him.
Hey, and you know what? Remembering it was, I think it was a hanging changeup into Mountie. He got all of it back when the wall was pushed back,
yep.
Right?
Baltimore.
So maybe I joked with Mountie before. I said, hey, you know, if you get off to a little bit of a slow start for home runs, I said, I can tell them to move the wall back. You say that messed with you. And he's like, oh, that'd be great. Well, maybe this 9-game homestand they have, right? Maybe this will be the one where we can see 3, 4, 5, so we can get closer to the Bob Haney special. 33 jacks, you said, for Mountie, right?
That's what I said, which is his rookie record that he set a few seasons ago. By the way, with the win, the Orioles were 6-5. They didn't start to percolate until, you know, midway through the season, and they eventually kind of ran away with the division.
Oh, 6-5 early on. You don't say. Oh, well. So you tell me there's a chance, Bob.
All right, I got you. Lloyd Christmas over here. Joe Flacco, if you missed it, signed with the Browns. Any issues there with Cleveland bringing it? Unbelievably, this will be his 18th NFL season. Incredible But going back to Cleveland, and he had that magic 2 years ago, comeback player of the year, until he came a cropper in the wild card game against Houston.
Yeah, I think I'm just a Joe fan no matter where he goes, except when he plays Baltimore. Let's be honest. But the Browns got rid of him because they didn't want a quarterback controversy, right? Like, that was the thing.
Sure.
Flacco was the hero, and Watson, what are you going to do? Well, I guess they're just saying, hey, Joe, come on back. The guys love you. You fit. And I guess we'll find out. But you got to be a Joe Flacco fan.
Yeah, oh, I love it. Flacco and Kenny Pickett. And they have the second pick in the draft.
Do they go quarterback, Bob?
Nah. Abdul Carter, maybe?
I mean, they could always go pass rush. They just signed a pass rusher that they extended, I guess I should say,
Miles
for
Garrett,
40-some million dollars. Your annual salary.
Travis Hunter? Right. Well, if I worked 44,000 years. When we come back, Keith Kavanaugh's got good news, he says, from College Park. I don't know what it is. He'll share with all of us. And then Ryan's going to get into this Orioles talk. Me and Nolan. Nolan, of course, I don't want to be bummer Bob, negative Nolan, but we kind of were. There were a couple of fans that said, pipe down. Long way to go here. Joining us now, as he does every Friday, from TerrapinTimes.com, with big news, apparently. College Park is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in Keith Kavanaugh. Keith, what's happening?
Guys, I'm coming hot and heavy today, so strap up. I got a blunderbuss of news for you today. Let's start with maybe the most important news. Sebastian Wilkins, a four-star power forward from Boston, 6'8", a 2026 kid who's reclassed to 25, arrives tonight for his official visit this weekend with the Terps. His two teammates from Brewster Academy are already on board, from TAMU, Andre Mills and George Turkston, as you probably noticed this past week. I expect Wilkins to probably be a heavy lean and commit to Maryland. Now, Buzz is a little different than Kevin Willard. Buzz will sign two or three. He signed three this year, high school kids. Willard was always going to sign one, then bring in three portals. So expect some high school kids, but obviously still need some more shooters and some bigs. So Sebastian Wilkins will be great there. Hopefully the visit goes well. But the key is they all play for Mass Rivals, AAU, and Brewster Academy. And who is Buzz Williams's recruiting coordinator? Wabisa Bede, who used to coach them. That AAU team. So they got a good pipeline. That's one of the top AAU powers in the country, Mass Rivals. So all these guys came from the same AAU team. Obviously, last week we mentioned five names, Bob, on the show, and all five of them are committed. The sixth, David Coit, is on board, the point guard, formerly of NIU, and then Kansas. Mind you, he had 14 points and had 4-6 threes against Houston this year. He's a 5'11 break-you-down shooter scorer. So the lineup is starting to build. It may be seven by this weekend. Now, the portal still has 11 days left. So you're trying to sign guys, get the transfers up. Every day watching the portal, who else jumps in? Myriad other names are on the list right now and visiting. Bryce Lindsey from JMU, a big-time shooter. Malik Moore from Montana, a guard who is going to visit. And then Reacher. A wrencher, one of his high school signees at TAMU, Maryland and Washington. He's probably the most likely to come here among Buzz's high school signees down there. Now, on some tough news, Kyle Tarp, the Terps' longtime strength and conditioning guy who, you know, has just been a master of his craft for years and helping with a lot of the teams. It's mostly the men's strength and conditioning. He's gone today because Buzz is bringing up his strength and conditioning guy from TAMU. We'll see what happens with the assistants down there, Devin Johnson, Steve Roccaforte, Lyle Wolf, and Vince Walden. I expect most of his staff to come up. All the Maryland staff is gone. They're all going to Villanova with Willard. And they've named a search firm, Turnkey, out of New Jersey, to start the process of interviewing for the new AD. We're still a couple of months away from when that'll all go down. So a lot going on. What else have I left out, Bob? Are you guys still awake?
Yeah, I was listening to you. You're ripping. You said you had the news. Keep on popping off, man. What else you got?
Oh, Tony Petitti, Big Ten commissioner, was on campus yesterday visiting with Daryl Pines. I'm sure they were talking. I'm sure they were talking about the AD. and everything else. Oh, and then Terse Fastball going to Vegas in 2025. It's coming year to play in that Players Era Festival. Bob, are we going to go there and stay at the Sands with Copa Gang?
Hey, if you're paying, I'm flying. Let's go.
Yeah, I'll drop you off at Fremont Casino down in Old Town Vegas. But a lot going on, and he's building a team. Okay, so these first six guys, are they all starters? No. You know, Solomon Washington, he'll be your six-man deluxe. Every one of these guys has a role, and some will be starters, some will not. But they're getting in some youngins. The two guys from TAMU, Mills and Thornton, were both redshirt freshmen this year. But Payne's a load inside. Oh, the women got two portals too, so they're rolling. One from Penn State and the other from Indiana, a guard and a center. So a lot going on, trying to follow the bouncing ball here every day in portal and NIL land, which is always a challenge. I'm sure 10 new things will happen by the time they hang up today.
Keith Cavanaugh.
He's building a really nice roster, yeah.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerribleTimes.com. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken with you on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Van Halen Roth era. Keith, of course, he wears spandex and open shirts. But you mentioned the entire coaching staff going with Willard to Villanova. Kevin Norris, Baltimore guy.
Yeah, that's
Greggy's a legacy. His old man's one of my favorite all-time favorite Terps. So, no, great man.
Bob,
yes.
What matters most in a coach, a head coach? Trust, familiarity,
right?
Knowledge of his system. Greggy would have been perfect as a Maryland conduit, you know, a holdover who would have been the Maryland guy on staff. Kevin Norris, I would have loved for him to stay. He's the king in Baltimore. He should have been hired years ago. It took a little while for him to get here, but he was here. I was hoping he would be the one. As far, he's the best recruiter, and he's Baltimore. But no, those guys need jobs too. Buzz is bringing pretty much the whole kit and caboodle, so they had to jump at the opportunity. Obviously, lost Jeffrey and Palmer to Villanova. Rice ain't coming to Maryland. Gillespie's already, you know, on board with Tennessee. Both are getting in the 1.5 range. And Rice, he only got $200K this year. That's pathetic.
Right.
He should have had a lot more. So the old man definitely wants more money. So they're going to go for 1.3. You know, he's got a list of five schools he's visiting, from Villanova to Southern Cal, to many others in between, Gonzaga. So you can kiss him goodbye. But we got the other, Miles Rice, the point guard, who put 16 on us this year for Indiana, a cancer survivor, so great kid. He's one of the six on board already, Miles Rice. But no Rodney Rice anymore in the Terps' future.
So, Keith, with all this happening now, and you mentioned about 10 days, 11 days until the portal closes, and last time I talked with Bob yesterday was it felt like the Terps being a little bit behind as far as with hiring a coach, and then you're trying to scramble. You know, what should the expectation be then for this team as they look, like as we look forward, if we have a crystal ball here for the Terps here as they move ahead for the 2026 season?
Well, his roster is halfway there. I mean, guys are jumping the portal every day. Even high school kids are backing out of commitment, so you've got to keep your eye on that. But he has the proven sample size. Caden Lewis from Sidwell Friends, a four-star, reneged on Kentucky yesterday. He's probably too pricey, but Maryland blew with Josh Hart at Sidwell, never offered him. They may make a run at him. But he's building his roster top-down, 1 through 13 or whatever they allow now with the scholarships. He's proven the model everywhere he's been. He's bringing his whole staff, so they'll have familiarity. He's got great tie-ins to these recruiting, you know, AAU circles and whatnot. He's a defensive-minded coach, and he's got a lot of slasher, crasher-type scores in general. He's tough as nails. Every practice is tough. Every game is tough. So they're going to bring a lot of grit to this program, and he's going to have some dogs. I mean, guys, like, when you watch Houston, those are grown men. I mean, compared to what we've seen at Maryland in recent years, great year this year, but last couple of years more of like a finesse-type team, and all those recruiting busts. DHS, finally, the last remnant of that last class. Why he's going to Georgetown, I have no idea. He won't get much run there either, but good luck to him. So that's kind of – he's this weekend, Buzz is also meeting with all the DMV AAU power brokers. So he's taking care of all business, and we'll see in 10 days or whatever how this roster finishes off. But everybody's gone. The last one, Chance Stevens, checked out yesterday, but he was never going to play here. I don't know why they offered him. So anyhow, have I covered the tennis team yet?
Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, appreciate the time and the information as always. You have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You too, guys. Thanks so much.
There's Keith Kavanaugh, a plethora of Terrapin news. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw, featured artist Friday here on The Fan. Tonight, taking on the Blue Jays. Sagano against Francis, a couple of right-handers. Sagano 1-1 with a 289. Solid start. Good start. Compared to the others, outstanding start against the Royals last week. Francis, Bowden Francis, he's, low 90s. Throws a little mix of four-seamers, little cutters, and whatever it is that they throw nowadays. But should be an interesting matchup, weather permitting. Toronto comes in, Ryan. 8-6, 3-4 on the road, but their three wins just happened over the last few days at Fenway Park against a Boston team that looked like the hottest in the AL East until they weren't.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a good reminder that the American League East is going to kind of be like this way the entire way, in my opinion. Even the teams that you might be sleeping on. I think the Blue Jays were a little bit slept on to start off the year, including myself. Why? Because it felt like every year when you looked at their roster, you go, well, this should be a playoff team. This team should have won the division a couple years ago. But right now, they do have some pieces in place, and they get off to a solid start. They're off to 8-6. But, I mean, right now, we look at the standings. The top team, New York, by winning percentage, is at 7-5, right? But here's the thing. More than anything, when you look at your schedule, and I know it's changed that big league teams, you're going to face every team in Major League Baseball now, but you still play your division more than any other teams throughout the league. This is a big series just for that, just because 2-2 up in Toronto, they come here to Baltimore. It helps you kind of get back on track. Remember we talked about the Orioles? The last 2 years, they dominated the AL East.
Yep.
This is a chance to kind of remind the Blue Jays, remind the rest of the East, hey, you know, we're off to a slow start, but we're still that same team that you can't look past. So I'm really curious with it, especially tonight you mentioned about with Bowden. Not an overpowering guy. Same thing with Sagano. So two pitchers we're going to see. Well, I don't know looking out the window if we're going to see it tonight.
Yeah.
But that matchup right there is guys that have to pitch to their strengths and are looking more to, not say induce contact, but they are going to have to pitch, not be overpowering.
Nolan McGraw, get in here. We were talking earlier, Ryan, before you got here, first hour of the show. And, you know, Nolan, as he stated yesterday, he's concerned with where they are right now. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned, disappointed, mainly in the offense, but the base running blunders and the defensive miscues, because it's a high IQ baseball team that's playing dumb. I mean, they're playing poorly in a lot of areas, too, but starting rotation was a gigantic question mark coming into the season, and, you know, not even 3 weeks in, it's even worse than it was because of injuries and other factors than before we were even worried then. So, yeah, Nolan, elaborate.
Well, you know, if you're in a lot of...
Nobody talks for Nolan.
Right, that's right. Yesterday, after the Diamondbacks loss, even on Wednesday, you heard some of the players say it, too, in the postgame. The term panic button, right? The players said, we're not hitting the panic button. Some fans have already gone there. I'm teetering. And the way I look at it, it's kind of like deal or no deal for me with the panic button right now. The daily basis with all these losses stacking up, I feel like Howie Mandel is coming to me. He's lifting the little clear glass case up off of the red panic button and asking me, do you want to panic or no panic right now, Nolan? And for the past couple of days, I've been saying, I close the lid. I say, no panic, Howie. No panic. I'm a rational fan. I want to stick with it, but it's getting harder and harder. And instead of the banker, it's Mike Elias sitting up there in the booth, and he's not giving me any offer. He's turning over a record every day. And it's 5-8 now. The crowd's oohing and aahing with every offer. I don't know, man.
Yeah, he'll break out a bunch of 50-cent words, and you have no idea what he's even saying to you, so you're confused. But you ever seen Between Two Ferns?
Mm-hmm.
Zach Galifianakis?
Oh, yeah,
interviews,
yeah, yeah.
And he's literally carries a button around with him. I think we all need to buy a button. Like, we have the bell here. That's the panic bell. Will that work or no?
The old Staples easy button.
Right.
They push it. It's my voice saying panic.
Well, hey, you know what, though? I did a little fun exercise yesterday on my show, the Ryan Ripken Show, where we went around here and we're looking around Major League Baseball. So if we could partake, Nolan, I want your opinion here, okay? So right now, are you buying, are you feeling comfortable with Angels 8-4? Do you think long term the Angels are going to be in this race?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
So out of curiosity, because then I'm going to go, what about Cleveland, Kansas City, Detroit out in the Central?
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Right. Division's up for grabs. Much easier division.
What's? Yeah. I don't know if that's a much easier division with those three. Well, the White Sox, you're right. That's a little bit of. But Detroit, Kansas City, Cleveland, the best team 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland just took the series from the White Sox. That's one of the worst teams in baseball. Kansas City 7-6. When you're looking at the whole American League, why I did this situation, you still have faith in Houston? You guys still have faith with the Astros?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, right? Like, they've given you the benefit of the doubt.
A little slow out the gate last year.
Right. And they have question marks, but a little bit slow out of the gate. They're 5-7. You know, so when I look at this and why I brought this up, the Orioles, I understand, have more question marks with the pitching department. There's no doubt about it. I'm not going to argue that. But when we're looking around baseball, these teams are not all going to stay stuck in the mud, is what I'm getting at. And for the Orioles right now, if this is going to happen right now, I'm glad it's happening now, not in June and July last year where you could see the energy be just zapped. So I think right now they need a reset, but sitting 2.5 back, playing some of the worst ball that they probably played, it's not a bad place to be. I'm not saying it's a place you want to be, Bob. Don't hate me. I'm the optimist in this room
I'm not hating anybody. I'm just looking at standings and mm-hmm. results over the last 100 games, right. And they're below 500.
Mm.
It's a carryover, maybe, for people. Here we go. Panic bell.
Oh, goodness.
People may be concerned that this is just last season carrying over when they were struggling down the stretch. They hadn't had a losing month for, what, a year and a half? And then I think two of the last 3 months they were below 500 and then got swept out of the playoffs. I'm not one of these people, but I'm trying to relate. You know what I mean? That this is just a carryover from last year, and there really wasn't anything done to improve upon fade of 24. If anything, you lost your best pitcher, your home run dude, and 100 ribbies. They walked out the door as well.
Well, yeah, I think that this is the unique situation when you look at other teams. The Orioles, let's look at a position player. We know the pitchers. Okay, you didn't get Burns. We understand the reason. Kids, family, place you wanted to be, and you got the deal. Great. Okay, could you have gotten someone else up for interpretation, right? Position player-wise, though, who were you going to sign? Like, I know they're struggling right now, but who would they have signed, right? Yeah. You want Jackson Holliday to play second base? Well, that guy's got to play second. Well, Jordan Westberg's your third baseman. He's pretty dang good. He's got to play third. Gunner, Mauney, O'Hearn. The outfield, you could have made the argument, oh, should we have gotten someone besides Tyler O'Neill? He's off to a great start as a Baltimore Oriole. Cedric Mullins is off to a great start. So my point that I'm trying to make here is we're having this conversation because the offense is having struggles, but realistically, and I said this earlier to you guys, it's up to these young players on the offensive side. If they don't do their job, then in 2025, or 26, I should say, we're going to find a different lineup here for Baltimore, but they got to get a shot to prove it first.
We'll come back, talk more Orioles. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. We'll defer to you, the listener, on this Featured Artist Friday, Roth era Van Halen. Your impressions of the team through 13 games. We knew the pitching was going to struggle. It has. Bullpen's been good, with the exception of one or two guys. No saves yet, though. That's a fascinating turn of events. And as the baseball IQ kind of going south on it, but to pull a Ryan Ripken, they were without their best player for a week and a half. And the second guy voting in the American League Rookie of the Year, he's going to be out for a couple months still.